Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events, Monday, October 27th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hey, another exciting, boring day in the markets.
Yeah,
we're going to get action sooner or later, but I guess right now it's going to be to the later side of things. But and then when we do get the action, everybody's going to wish that, you know, I kind of liked it when it was a little to the quiet side. But yeah, never can't find that right medium, can we?
No, I think the right medium for me would probably be about 25 years old.
Yeah,
I'm talking about me. I think that would be a happy medium for me, probably. And I don't care if I was 25. I don't care what the market does. You have to go up, go down, see if I care.
That's the only reason you'd want to be 25?
No, it's not the only reason.
Yeah, I didn't think
25.
So.
I'm just saying that I don't think I'd pay much attention to the market if I was 20. I should, even if at that age I should, but I don't think I would.
Yeah, probably even 35. You're not doing a lot of attention to
the I don't have an objection to 45.
No, but I did follow the news, though.
Pardon me?
I did follow the news.
You mean at that age?
45, absolutely. Mm. 40, late 30s.
I don't follow. I didn't follow to the extent I do now. No.
I listened to more radio talk, but anyway.
See what happens?
Mm.
You listen to enough radio talk. And
here
you,
I am.
Yeah. It's one of those things.
That's what I want to do when I grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gold, when it grows up, it's going to be 5,000. But right now, we're going to have to take 1,229 down to 80 on the day. Silver's down 7 cents today at 1,724. Platinum and palladium, the white metals, both up five. Both of them up five. Interesting. You know, 1,260. It's one of my days where it says, yeah, they were in there playing with the computer digits. And palladium was up five, 787. Platinum, 1,260. Both up five currently. USDX today down 19, 85.52. Crude oil down 26 at 80.75. And let's go to Wall Street. Oh, they were able to pop up a whole 12 points 16,817. The NASDAQ was up 2 at 44.85. The S&P down 2 at 19.61. And the 10-year yield, 2.26%. So everybody's waiting this week, I think, for the Federal Reserve in order to, because they're going to be complete, expecting to make the announcement that they're going to complete their bond buying program, which is all intended to keep the long-term interest rates low. I mean, this is something we've known for a full year, and to support the economy. And, you know, they've said time and time, every month, every speech, every interview, that they are in no rush to raise its key short-term rates. So, Al?
Well, they talk about perhaps doing it in the first quarter of next year. I wouldn't be completely surprised if they did it any time after the election. But I don't know when they're going to schedule their next meeting. They might have one in December. I don't know for a fact. But they're going to raise interest rates at least a little bit within the next 120 days. And maybe the next 90 days. We'll watch and see how soon it happens. But what they're talking about is they're going to stop buying assets.
I don't think they're going to raise rates, but go ahead.
Well, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't have a crystal ball, but they say they're going to do it. They're going to stop buying assets perhaps this week. And they are, in theory, going to announce that termination of QE3 perhaps on Wednesday of this week. They believe the American economy is strong enough to stand on its own. The Fed began, I'm reading from an article at International Business Times, the Fed began buying certain assets in bulk during September 2008. And it's interesting to me, they say the Fed began buying certain assets in bulk during 2008. Well, first off, if you're going to buy assets in bulk, now, it could be just a word choice, and it's not necessarily, you know, I can read more into it than is really there, but still, buying assets in bulk, that indicates you're not paying very close attention to each one of the assets that you're picking up. You're just buying a class of assets and say, well, I'll take just load them all in the pickup truck and we'll haul them home. I don't care what they're. It indicates that they're not being very selective, that they weren't very selective about whatever they were purchasing. And the other thing is, they say they were buying certain assets in bulk. In fact, if you think back to 2008, they were buying what they called toxic assets. And what they meant by toxic assets is they were buying stocks, bonds, whatever, that had suddenly become worth a great deal less than they were marked in the value that was written on the bank's balance sheets. All right? And the banks and other financial institutions were stuck with these toxic assets, and they had an asset on the books, and they said, this asset is worth $500,000. But it turns out that on the market, they could perhaps get $50,000 for it. And they understood this, but as long as they didn't admit it on the books, their books would still show they had $500,000 in assets, or if you tried to sell it, you might be lucky to get $50,000 for it. So the Federal Reserve came along and they said, look, we will give you $500,000 for that asset, knowing that it's only worth $50,000. And they did that in largely to maintain the bank's balance sheets. So the banks would not become mathematically apparent that the banks were broke. They were insolvent. They bought trash from different institutions. They knew it was trash. They paid the face value for it, knowing that it was only worth a fraction of that. So they bought assets, but in fact, they bought toxic assets. The announcement could come Wednesday when the Federal Open Market Committee concludes a two-day meeting. It's also expected to focus on federal funds interest rate, which officially has been in a range between 0% and 0.25% since the end of 2008. Currently, the Fed buys $15 billion in assets monthly, down from $85 billion in December of last year. The worry is continuing the QE program, which began under Bernanke, could generate fresh bubbles in the stock market. Oh my gosh. We can't have any bubbles around here. That's why they're giving, that's why they're having reduced mortgage requirements so they can give mortgages to people who don't qualify for mortgages. We talked about that last week. They're going back to subprime mortgages, and yet they claim to be concerned about bubbles. In any case, they're going to stop buying assets, mainly U.S. bonds. Dropped from $85 billion a little over a year ago to $15 billion now and perhaps ending shortly. J.J. Kinahan, strategist at TD Ameritrade, said Fed Chairman Janet Yellen has indicated she believes the economy can withstand the Fed's withdrawal. Her job is not to make the stock market go up, he told CNN Money. It's to keep the economy stable. Well, that's probably true, but I don't. It's true in theory. I'm not sure whether that's true in fact or not. The article goes on. I don't need to get any deeper into it, but it may be that come Wednesday they're going to announce the absolute end to QE3. They're not going to buy any more bonds. At least that will be their story du jour, perhaps. We'll watch and see. What do you think it'll do to the markets, Melody? Anything?
You know, you would think that the end of the QE3 would already be written into the program.
I think that's probably correct. It's already, the markets already reflect this probability, so we're not likely to see something. You know, there isn't going to be a surprise.
You
People
would,
aren't going to get
see,
up on
but I'll
Thursday.
Tell you what,
oh my gosh, they stopped buying bonds.
But I think what could have or would reflect in the markets is her ability. In releasing the statement, can she present confidence? Can she instill confidence in these markets that there's that the Federal Reserve is still going to be standing there in the wings of things? So when the markets do melt down, that they'll do whatever is necessary and come back in. So I don't think she can do that part of the job. I mean, she's no Ben Bernanke. She's no, you know, she's none of the prior Federal Reserve chair people where. You know, they spoke and everybody listens. I don't think everyone listens when Janet Yellen speaks.
Yeah, but everybody listened when Alan Greenspan spoke and nobody could understand what he was saying.
Yeah, it really didn't. I mean, he still instilled confidence.
Yeah, I guess
and,
so. It was another
so,
one of those things that blah, 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 blah.
But yeah. That could have an impact, you know, in the markets. And again, we all know where this is heading. I mean, you know, you can talk about how good the unemployment rate is. It's so close to historically normal levels, she says. But then again, we have to look at to why. You know, we're looking at many part-time workers that can't find full-time jobs. We're looking at a high number of people who have given up looking for a job and aren't even counted
and
as unemployed.
And we're looking at mathematical formulas that remove, probably more unemployed people are removed by mathematics than are removed by any government programs. Some estimates think where the unemployment rate might run 20% or more. And they're reporting less, you know, almost a quarter of what some people believe is the real unemployment rate. Government says we have one guy out, and it maybe we have four out for every one that's being reported by the government. We'll watch and see. Don't know exactly what the truth is there, but the government is understating. And one of the things that's curious to me is the Federal Reserve terminating its asset buying program. Because the economy is strong enough to stand on its own, that's the explanation offered in this article. The economy is strong enough; they don't need the support anymore. Is that where the Federal Reserve is backing away, or has the Federal Reserve, which is a private entity, and has some sort of obligation to its shareholders and owners that is not the obligation they profess to have to the people of the United States of America? Are they just saying, look, we've bought enough of this junk we can't afford to buy anymore? You know, they took the toxic assets. They paid full price for products that they knew were only worth a fraction of their face value. They're the ones that are stuck with a very strange balance sheet where if anyone comes along and says, well, how much money have you got in the bank there, Federal Reserve? And they say, well, we've got $4 trillion. And somebody's going to say, well, let's see what it's worth on the free market. And they're going to say, uh-uh, we can't do that. We have moved the toxic assets from major banks and put the toxic assets in the Federal Reserve Bank. Is there a limit to how much toxic assets the Federal Reserve can buy and still expect to stay in business? And is that limit the reason they're saying that's it? We want you guys are on your own. We've helped you all we can. We can't. We're not going to go completely broke buying all this trash.
Well, another thing that you have to look at is you have to see how well they can balance these rates, because that's exactly what they have to do. Because whenever you have these big moves in these rates and these bonds, I mean, they can get hammered. You know, they lose billions and billions of dollars on their so-called investments in these bonds. So, you know, they are going to manage to the best of their ability. They're going to try to manage them. And, you know, when you're talking about they've put in, what, trillions of dollars on their
Yeah, if I understand correctly, they may have picked up $4 trillion worth of assets over the course of that speech.
So, you know, they're the ones that'll be wiped out. So it is they will do what they have to do. And it's not about our economy. I mean, you know, it's the economy anymore is the stock market, because it makes people feel good and they go out and they spend money, and people who are selling things think that, well, the stock markets are up, so maybe I'll be able to sell this or sell that, and maybe, you know, we all live in fantasy land, and but things are not good. And you know, it's time and time again we talk about all these numbers and so forth that prove that the economy is not doing well. I mean, we can take a look at Europe and how bad, and it goes to show how bad Europe is. How does it affect us? You're talking about the contagions. I mean, they did their little stress test on their banks, and 21 of them failed the test. Italy was the which is Europe's fourth largest economy. They suffered the worst as far as their banks. Greece and Cyprus, southern European countries that required international bailouts, were next. In each country, there were three or four banks examined that didn't pass their little stress test. Five of the Italian banks and one Greek bank, they have since covered their shortfalls. Well, how do you cover your shortfalls? Oh, well, let me put this item number over on this side, and we're covered. We're kind of like what
creative accounting.
Kind of like what Bank of America.
If you and I do creative accounting, yeah, we go to prison for fraud. If the government does creative accounting, I don't know what that is, but it's not fraud and it's not a crime. That's just the way it is, and
but
it's
they
okay.
Our own banks did it here in this country for the stress test that was done on them. Was it Bank of America, Citibank? There was two or three of them that all of a sudden recovered their shortfalls. I mean, how do you do that? Well, it's creative accounting, and all of a sudden they're in the positive and on the good side of the governments. Only one of the 25 major banks in Germany, Europe's strongest economy, of course, failed the test, but they too has since raised sufficient capital. So it really is kind of, so if this is what they admit, if this is what they write, this is what they report, this is what they release, how bad do you think these banks really are? Do you think they're actually better, or do you think they're actually worse than what
they might be? Might be just exactly. This one might be just right. It's kind of like the Goldilocks thing. One is too hard, one is too soft, but one of the beds is just right. Maybe they're telling the truth. What do you think the chances are that that's happening?
Well, not likely.
Not likely. No.
But so the shortfall, the total shortfall was about $31 billion. And everybody was sort of anticipating, you know, the banks. You know, everybody was expecting all these banks to fail. I mean, heck, Bloomberg reported last week they were expecting this amount of banks to fail. We mentioned it briefly on the program the other day. And the part about what I read about this, what I found, and we're going to break now. We'll have to break.
Why don't we take
the break
right now, and
yes,
we can come back to the subject when we return. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners to give us a call at our telephone number. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And we also run specials on our homepage that you can click on. And we do change that periodically. And we still have some of those buffaloes, those certified buffaloes, proof buffaloes that are available, where there was only 61 of them to be certified. And they have a facsimile signature of the designer. So give us a call. They're 15. They're a great, great buy. We only have 4 left. We only have 4 left. And of the 61, we had 20 of them, I believe. Not sure. Something around that. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And just, yes, Al, I heard that deep.
I just caught my breath, Melody, that's all. Get older and you have these little breathing episodes from time to time. Doesn't mean I was ready to speak. Just means I was
breathing.
Surprised or shocked or whatever. I don't
just
know.
Just breathing.
Doesn't necessarily mean anything. If I don't say anything, even though I grunt from time to time, it's not necessarily a meaningful grunt.
Okay.
So what's next?
All righty. Well, we were talking about European and the bank stress tests that they have over there. And they do lend to companies over there differently than we do here. Most of the European companies rely on bank finance, unlike their U.S. peers, who are more likely to issue bond. So the banks are a little bit less likely, supposedly, to take risks with their lending. You'd think they'd be in a little bit better condition.
European banks.
You'd think they'd be in a little bit better condition, considering that they have to underwrite and so forth. But they say
it's on how much capital they have. And if I understood you correctly, at least some of those banks were $31 billion short altogether on what they thought they would need to pass the stress tests.
That is correct.
If that's true, it suggests they might be short on money that's available to be loaned to businesses. It would certainly mean that they're not going to take risks. Well, not as much risk. And there'll be less money available. You know, if you want to borrow, you'd better be really solid. And even then, you might have a difficult time. So they have a little different structure there. Here in the United States, you can the corporations can borrow directly from the people. If you want to buy bonds from a particular corporation, you can.
Now, this is also an interesting. The result of this health check was done just weeks before the European Central Bank, the ECB, assumes responsibility for supervising the Eurozone's biggest lenders. And this whole point that the Euro Central Bank was a move intended to reduce the risk of future bank failures. So that might make some people feel better. But to me,
sounds to me like they just audited the properties that they're going to start managing to find out who's in how much trouble and what has to be done.
Assuming the responsibility, yes. So I found that interesting.
Okay. Did you say you wanted to talk about abortions in North?
This is a topic we don't normally discuss on this program, but I found it interesting. And in North Dakota, we certainly know about North Dakota's boom in the oil and so forth. So, you know, there's a lot of activity and things going on in North Dakota. But they are having an amendment that would declare in the state constitution that life begins at conception. And
I thought life began at 40, but go ahead.
The single sentence measure would be the nation's first to amend a state constitution and require the inalienable right to life at any stage of development. So there's certainly those that are opposed, believing that.
Does it say inalienable with an I-N or unalienable with a U-N?
N-I-N.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And those that are opposed. Excuse me?
No, I was just going to say I'm pleased. I think it's interesting for a number of reasons. Go ahead. I was surprised when they referred to inalienable. I'm surprised they even used the word. It's not the right word. The word should be with the UN. Unalienable, in the way I pronounce it, just to make a distinction between inalienable and unalienable. But UN, alienable, that's the word that's found in our Declaration of Independence. Not many people appreciate this distinction, but our Declaration of Independence from 1776 says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are rights of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. They flow from our Creator, God, at the moment of our creation, which is no later than our conception. And if you believe the Bible, there's a passage in Jeremiah where the good Lord is speaking to Jeremiah, and he told him, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, implying that we were created even before we were conceived. But for sure, our creation, our moment of creation goes to the moment when the sperm unites with the ovum. At that moment of conception, we are created. At that moment, those unalienable rights attach life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Under the Declaration of Independence, under the principles there can be no legal abortion in this country, because it amounts to the murder of a member of mankind. Even though you're just dealing with that little one cell, sperm and ovum, first cell, Later on, 2, 4, 8, 16, so on. From that moment forth, it's murder. But if you look at the 14th Amendment, and here's where our abortion laws come from. It says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Hard to follow. I'm reading it fast and rest of it. But it says all persons born. The civil rights that are given to you by government attach after you are born under the 14th Amendment. Others, they've modified that, but to some degree. But nevertheless, you have to be born before you get the civil rights under the 14th Amendment. That means that you are not protected until you fully exit the mother's womb. This is part of the reason why the abortionists can scoop the brains out of babies. They have partial birth abortions. You are not fully born until you are completely exited from the birth canal. All right? And then the 14th Amendment is, then it recognizes you as someone that's entitled to certain protections from government. The Declaration of Independence says you are entitled to those protections from the moment of your creation. The 14th Amendment says you're only entitled from certain protections, and they're not the same ones you find in the Declaration of Independence, but you're still going to get government protection after you are born, not after you're created, after you're born. That opens a 9-month window where, in theory, we can perform abortions. So there's the difference, my understanding, why we have abortions. It's the difference between Declaration of Independence, 14th Amendment, and I'm surprised that North Dakota had sense enough to refer to inalienable rights. Technically, it's unalienable, but still they're close. It means somebody up there has brains enough to look at the Declaration of Independence and says, we're going to protect those rights. This is a big step. This is an important step. I wish every state in the union was as knowledgeable as North Dakota is and would move forward trying to reestablish our God-given, unalienable rights and say, we're going to protect those. It would be a big improvement.
So hopefully it gets passed, and, it's very important for you North Dakotians. Is that what you would call a North Dakotian?
No, I just call them Yankees. It's like people living in Pennsylvania. Down here in Texas, they're all just Yankees.
Worse than anything? No. All
right. I've been in Texas since, 1980. I've been sitting here since 1980. Translates into 34 years. I'm still a Yankee.
You'll never
you know, for what
that.
It's worth, it was one of the best stories I ever heard. I was down in Utopia, Texas. They filmed a movie down there with Robert Duvall, 7 Days in Utopia or something like that. It was filmed there a couple of years ago when I was down there at the time. And there's one of the people, he's telling the story, he was from, I don't know, might have been from Illinois or Wisconsin or Pennsylvania or something, moved down to Texas. He and his wife had a child. He went to the local restaurant and he said, well, we've got another Texan. My wife just gave birth to, healthy boy, baby boy, and the rest of it. And there was some old rancher, farmer, whatever there. And he says, that child isn't going to be another Texan until you got 3 generations laying up there in that cemetery up the hill. All right, so it's enough. You don't just cross the border, come down here to Texas, and I'm a Texan. You got to have family. I mean, if you want to be a real family in the eyes, especially of rural Texas, you got to be here a few generations before you can make a claim. In Dallas, they'll put up with it. You can move into Dallas and they'll listen to you. But it just cracked me up. You're not going to be a real Texan until you got 3 generations laying up there in that cemetery. No.
Speaking of Texas, Jeb Bush, do you really believe that he will be running in 2016? And if he does, how does that eliminate who's your governor now?
Perry.
Yeah. I mean, that would be an interesting...
Jeb is in Florida. Jeb is in Florida.
But his family's in Texas.
Yeah, that might be. I don't think they're real Texans. Bush didn't. He came here from Massachusetts or someplace like that. He's been here for probably his last 70 years. He's still not a real Texan.
No,
I'm talking about
never
Bush.
Will be. Never will be.
No.
But
you got to go into a special cemetery if you die down here and you weren't born in within Texas. They put you in a special cemetery. It's like being excommunicated or something like that. It's a Yankee. Died a Yankee.
So do you really believe Jeb Bush will be a contender?
I hope not. You know, it just disgusts me that we see these family dynasties come along. We saw some evidence of this with Kennedy. We're liable to see more evidence of it with Clinton. All right. It just seems to me that the Republican Party ought to be able to find someone to run for public office other than the son of a previous president and the brother of another previous president. These family dynasties, they are disturbing. Right? They violate fundamental ideas. We should be able to produce someone out of this country.
You'd think.
Somebody. Take a, I don't know, put names in a hat. Let's just put names in a hat, and we're going to appoint somebody. And you're going to wake up one day, and somebody's going to say, guess what? What? You're the president. Me? Yeah, you're the president. You've just been, we pulled your name out of the hat. You won the presidential lottery. You know, we can have a national lottery. Run for president. Instead of getting $1 million or something like that, you put in $5. And if your number comes up, then you get to be president. It would make more sense. All right? I just can't stand these dynasties. I hope Jeb Bush doesn't run. And part of the reason I hope he doesn't run, because I think it's so lame. The Republicans. You know, I have voted for one Democrat in my life. I have tended to vote Republican for most of my life, but they aggravate me. I don't regard them much more highly than I regard Democrats. At the top, I think they're all a bunch of treasonous whores, and that's true for the top of the Democrats, and it's true for the top of the Republicans. As far as I can see, still, I have more affection for the Republicans than I do for the Democrats. But the Republicans have a talent for nominating candidates that are perhaps acceptable to the Republican establishment, but have little or no value for the vast majority of the American people. John McCain, Mitt Romney, who are they going to do next time? Who will they pick to lose? And I don't necessarily figure that we'll get a Republican and say, yay, we've elected a Republican and we're all saved. I don't figure that for a moment. But if we elect another Democrat to the White House, I mean, to me, that's going to be an even bigger disaster. So here I am voting for the lesser of two evils, and I don't like that at all, but nevertheless, that seems to be the reality, and I just hope the Republicans find someone who appeals to the American people more so than he does to the Republican establishment.
You would think that there would be somebody, and you know, and again, I agree with you, Al. I mean, to me, this is a big agenda. There's not a lot of difference between the two, and yes, you can go back, and I mean, you know, we can talk about the positives of some presidents. Most of them have bigger negatives than, you know, I get all that. But when are we going to have somebody that can actually give a speech like, and maybe a lot of people thought Obama did. I didn't think he did, but like Ronald Reagan, I mean, when you listen to his speeches, I mean, it's like, I mean, and Pat Buchanan was one. I mean, you listen to these people, and maybe it's just my own personal preference, but I mean, they get you fired up. They get you, you know, Ross Perot was one. You know,
yeah,
you have these certain gentlemen, these people who can get the movement to get, you know, it gets you fired up. We don't.
I understand that.
Where are these people?
Yeah, they're around. About they're country. Around, but the Republicans aren't going to nominate any of them unless they're forced to. You're going to have to put a gun to their heads and say, nominate this guy. He can speak. He's intelligent. I say, I don't want that. They don't want that.
I mean, they talked about too big government. They talked about all the things that were right with this country and where it was going to head if things weren't fixed today.
And that's part of the reason why I say both parties have been captured by certain forces that are contrary to the best interest of the American people and the leadership. I'm not talking about everybody's a Republican or everybody's a Democrat, but I'm talking about the leadership of the two parties have been captured, perverted, and we are in trouble until we run them off. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Hundreds. I mean, this really, it's not a new story. It's an old story. We've been talking about it for a long time, but I think it's always an interesting story where people continue to give up their U.S. passports after new tax rules start.
I understand.
And you have
FATCA,
more. Yeah.
Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act. And this is an act passed by the government where they claim that they have the right to impose taxes on U.S. citizens anywhere in the world. And if I understand this correctly, it's not if you move to Argentina. Okay? And you have assets down there. You have a business. You have whatever. As long as you are a U.S. citizen, they claim that they have a right to impose income taxes on you. And they have a right to compel your local bank in Argentina or France or China or whatever. Government has a right to compel them to disclose how much money you've got in your bank account if you're a U.S. citizen. Now, as a result, we've got this article from Bloomberg says hundreds give up U.S. passports after new tax rules start. People giving up their nationality at U.S. embassies increased to 776 in the third quarter, up from 560 a year earlier. It's an increase of almost 40%. We've gone from 560 in the third quarter last year to 776 in the third quarter this year. I don't know. Is that news? Is it cause for concern? Or is it just a minor blip? I think it's kind of a minor blip. But the story goes on and it says tougher asset disclosure rules that started July 1st under the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, or FATCA, prompted more of the estimated 6 million Americans living overseas to give up their passports. They don't want to be taxed on their income overseas. And I think the disturbing thing about this story is that the government taxes you not because you've earned money in the United States. Right? They tax you on the basis of being a United States citizen. And if you go to some foreign country, they don't care if you're in a foreign country, they're still going to tax you. And it implies that the government thinks of itself as your owner. It doesn't matter where you reside. You are the government's serfs. You are the government's property. You are the government's slaves and or fiduciaries. Whatever you earn is first and foremost for the benefit of the United States government if you're a United States citizen, even if you're earning it in foreign countries. And that's disturbing. It gives us a clue to how the government perceives you and me and Melody, and not just the people overseas, but even the people in this country. You're not paying income taxes because you earn money in the United States. You're paying income taxes because the government presumes itself to, in some sense or another, it presumes that it owns you. And all by itself, that is cause for concern. It's the sort of thing that you can't simply accept and say, well, I don't mind. If the government claims to own me, who cares? Not a big thing. It's a big thing. It's an enormous thing. This is exactly contrary to the fundamental principles this country started with, again, with those God-given, unalienable rights that we find declared in the Declaration of Independence. The government is saying, you don't have any of those rights. You are our property, you are our serfs, you are our slaves. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? Well, I wasn't clearing my throat to say something, but now that you asked.
A little tea. There's a lesson for you. See, don't be clearing your throat. When you clear your throat, then you have to say something.
This isn't my question, but perhaps there's people out there that say, well, you know what, Al? I mean, they are a citizen of the United States. So, I mean, if they're just living out of the country in order maybe to avoid something, why shouldn't they be... you know, tax something. I mean, they're still a citizen of the country.
Because you're going to be taxed in whatever venue you're in. I don't know how many countries you can identify where you get a job, you get a business.
And there's no tax to be paid.
And no one's going to have any taxes on. You're going to be taxed there, but the government says, we don't care if you've been taxed in Argentina. You're still going to get taxed. You owe Uncle Sam.
So if people from Argentina live here, does Argentina tax them?
I don't know. So far as I know, the United States is the only country that imposes here's
fines. That's
from Bloomberg, and it says the U.S., the only Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development nation that taxes citizens wherever they reside, right? Stepped up the search for tax dollars and blah blah blah. In 2009, but it says we are the only country in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development that taxes citizens wherever they reside. Taxation is not a function of residence. It's a function of citizenship. And there's something wrong with that. Again, they're saying implicitly, we own you.
I agree. And I think also that's disturbing is the fines that they're placing on banks. It's really not the bank's job in order to keep track of the U.S. government's citizens. I mean, you know, they shouldn't have to be forced into releasing this information.
And what's the result?
The result is it doesn't matter where you go. If people are looking for privacy, it's...
No, but there's more to that. There's more. There's another point. These banks are backpedaling as fast as they can to get away from American expatriates who want to do some banking in a local country.
Yep.
They don't want the trouble. They just said, look, take your money someplace else. We don't want it in our bank because it means if we take your account, we're going to have all these compliance problems with the United States government and life is too short.
Yep.
So now what are you going to do? You know, it's another part of the economic problem we're having. Another evidence. The government is trying to impose these regulations on people even outside the country to capture a percentage of whatever they earn in the form of taxes. And it's not just evidence of government expanding its power. To my mind, it's evidence of government desperation. We've got to have more money. And if we got to get it from people that are living on the South Pole, get it. All right? That's kind of the way the government is operating right now. And it's not, you know, it's not just a question of reason. It's not just a question of law. It's a question of desperation from my perspective. And I'm not sure how many restrictions exist on removing whatever savings you may have in this country and taking it to a foreign country. You may know better than I do, Melody.
What's amazing, though, Al, you have to look at the bigger picture, and it's like, why do they really care about 6,000 people? Or how many thousands?
6 million.
There? Six million. Is there
6 million Americans living overseas?
Does that include Army? I mean,
no, I don't think it includes the Army. These are expatriates. These are people who are living in a foreign residence. 6 million people, and chances are a third of them, maybe more than that, aren't employed, spouses. You know, you probably got a third of them are spouses, maybe even children. I don't know how many are over there. So they're going through this, and they're alienating foreign countries. They're offending foreign banks, and they're doing this over the income that they might be able to collect from maybe 3 million people who work for a living overseas. Just take a guess. 3 million people. They've got 60 million in this country that have jobs, and a third of them aren't paying their income taxes or more, and they're going to worry about a couple million that are overseas. It doesn't make good sense. They alienate foreign countries, alienate foreign banks, make Americans persona non grata. Right? You can't hardly get out of this country and try to leave with the money in your pocket and see if you can get that, pull that off. It's increasingly evidence that we are in more and more of a police state. This isn't just government regulations. Oh, guess what? Government came out. No, this is evidence of a growing police state. And it's not, certainly not, that's not a new idea to anyone listening to this program. I understand we're dealing with police state issues in this country, and they are growing. I don't know that people necessarily say we're in a police state right now. But we are certainly headed in that direction. And this is just one more evidence. The government, you know, where do we find any semblance of freedom? Right now, the best you can do for freedom in this country is just try to stay out of their way. I'm a free man unless they decide they need to come after me. But that means you're not really free. You're just kind of... Maybe you just haven't quite given them enough of an excuse to come rob you blind.
I wonder if the 3 million people, the taxes that they've been collecting since July 1st, had an impact on the numbers that were released of the amount of taxes that were collected in that quarter. The trillions of, you know, taxes from 3 million people can be significant. So
yeah,
it's another distortion of exactly the bottom line of our, you know, everybody was, oh, wow, you know, that's great. You know, that's helping our bottom line and so forth. Well, again, another distortion. And again, as you mentioned now, desperation.
Yeah. Something's wrong with this. I mean, it's either desperation or it's malice. The government does this, just can't be important financially unless they're desperate. And if they're not desperate, then what are they doing this for? If people want to leave the country, let them leave. You know, they don't have a problem with people leaving Mexico and coming into this country. But they don't want anybody bailing out, or at least they don't mind poor people coming in here with nothing. But any of you got any money, you better plan on sticking around. It's going to be a little more difficult. I'm not saying you can't get out. I'm not saying you can't take your money with you to some degree, but it's not easily done. And I doubt that there's anyone who's considering the possibility, who's listening to the program right now, who's absolutely confident that all you need to do, fine. You want to move to pick a country. Where do you want to go? Think, are you sure that you can just say, well, I got $200,000 in the bank account, and I want to just move it over there to Paris, or I want to move it down to Buenos Aires, or wherever. You sure you can get your money over there? Even if you can, I doubt that you have real confidence in your ability to do so safely and not incur at least some potential penalty from government. You know, where do we feel free anymore? We are being choked and stifled by regulation, and it's almost like you don't dare make a move for fear that the government might somehow be offended and say, oh my gosh, we're going to have to penalize you because you were wearing brown shoes with a tuxedo, and there's a regulation against that. However much money the government might be accumulating by making sure it imposes taxes on a couple million people that are living overseas, it just seems to me that we lose more. We lose our confidence that we live in a free country. We lose our confidence that we have rights that are worth mentioning. We lose our confidence the government respects any of our rights. And I think the loss of that confidence and that belief and say, yeah, I live in the land of the free. Are you sure about that? How many of you really believe you live in the land of the free? And it's not just an idle question or a radical question or whatever. They do studies to show, to rate countries based on your standard of living and the services you can provide from government, one thing, another like that. And part of the ratings involve which countries are the most free. And we're something like number 12 or 15 on that list. They rate a dozen or more countries to be more free than we are. Is that tolerable? Is that acceptable? There is something deeply, deeply wrong that we are not the most free country in the world. There's something wrong with that. This is the land of the free, or at least it was. And if it's not that way anymore, someone needs to, not just someone, all of us, we need to ask, why? Why are we not the land of the free? Why are we not the freest people on the face of the earth? And then we need to stand up, get together, and push politicians, presidents, federal judges, state judges, the bunch of them, and make them understand we are going to be the freest country on the face of this earth. And if you get in our way, we're going to move you to another country that's suitable for a police state. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd go around and have a ball.
Money, money, always funny.